Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Early on in my tenure as the rector of St. Andrew's, there was a group of people who found me too Catholic, and they frequently would make mention of this in their criticisms. This came to a head during Lent when I was preaching on the importance of the Lenten disciplines. And a person said to me, I've been in the church my whole life, and I've never heard any of these things. And I said, then you should probably reread Ash Wednesday service where it's spelled out for you. Every year, the same thing. The fact of the matter is, we don't often listen to what we're praying. We don't pay attention to the words. And this lack of attention, I've come to find out, Jonathan Peugeot has really taught this. He says, attention is the truest meaning of worship. See, for us, worship's about this feeling you get. So, you want great music. So we have great singers singing great music, and you feel this thing. But we're not always paying attention to what the words are. Attention is vital. And paying attention to our prayers will transform our minds if we let it. Now, last time I was up here, I preached on the psalm. I think it's the second or third time I've done that. I don't frequently preach on the psalms. Well, this week I'm doing something I've never done. I'm preaching on a psalm. The song I'm going to preach on is what you will know as St. Patrick's Breastplate. I think it's page 371. The words are in the little missal things. And we're not doing all the verses, but I will do all the verses. And the version in the hymnal is kind of, someone has taken it and poetically worked with it. And so what I want to do, I talk to you about praying a lot. But I want to talk about how to pray. I'm going to talk about how to pray. And I'm going to say the St. Patrick Breastplate is probably as good a way to start the day as any prayer. And if you're like me, able to add things once you get comfortable with it that are missing. And I'll kind of talk about some places where I've made some additions. Or maybe you want to cut it down some because it's a little too long. But I want to lay out to you the framework because the praying we're doing shapes the mind and heart. And that's what we're about here. If you know anything about what's taking place in the secular world, they would like to remove every clergy leader from churches. Because they know for the most part, y'all rely on clergy leaders. I'm proud of this church. I came late Thursday night and someone said the prayer. And my greatest fear has always been when I die, you would starve to death because there's no one to say the prayer. It's important that you understand that you have to be involved in your own spiritual development. So the prayer of St. Patrick's Breastplate. First of all, what's a breastplate? Breastplate is armor to protect you. And it's called a breastplate because early on, they didn't protect the back. Because they said, you're a soldier, your job is to go that way. If you're running away, you're not doing your job. So there is no protection on the back. Right? And the prayer, the breastplate prayer, comes from St. Paul, who talks about put on the whole armor of Christ. So a breastplate, and there's many of them, especially in the Celtic Church, and we're really connected to the Celtic Church. The Celtic Church had lots of prayers of protection because they lived in a world that was filled with pagans and filled with disease and filled with struggles because it was 1,500 years ago. And so the prayer begins, I rise today. So it's the beginning of the day, your first prayer. Through a mighty strength, a mighty power. And what is the power? The invocation of the Trinity. Getting up, and the first thing we say is, I invoke the Holy God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And that's the strength that I operate from. Not my connections, not my skills, not my income, not my where I live, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In my belief that there's three, and the confession that there's one, and it's of the Creator of creation. So here's the world we live in. The world we live in says, a long time ago there was a huge explosion. And after a long time, we got Beethoven and duck-billed platypuses. Because after large explosions, if you wait around long enough, that's what happens. So what Russia's trying to do in Ukraine is make a whole new creation, right? So all those places that get bombed out, if we wait long enough, new creatures are just going to emerge, because that's what happens after explosions. No. We live in a creation. A creation that's intentionally here. And if there was a lot of explosion, I'm sure there's reason to believe it. It was not an accident. It was set in place. And duck-billed platypuses are part of the outcome of that creation. By claiming I live in a creation, I save myself from the meaninglessness of the life that surrounds me from people who are secular and unbelieving. To declare that every day, to speak it out loud in prayer, is going to change my mind and my heart. The first thing then the prayer focuses on is the incarnation. I rise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, his crucifixion with his burial, his resurrection with his ascension, his descent for the judgment of doom. And that doom there means judging people. I mean, it doesn't mean bad stuff. It's whatever the outcome is. I like to add the angel appearing to Mary. Her yes. I like to add the visitation. I like to add Jesus preaching, teaching, healing, and exorcism. I add those things into prayer so I'm coldly connected every day with the ground of my being, who is Jesus, incarnate Word of God, the Son of God. And the power of my relationship with him is stronger than anything else in the world. It's more powerful than anything else in the world. The second thing it looks to is the principalities and powers which are not in rebellion. What we typically refer to as angels, but which transcend just the role of angels. And by the way, angel means messenger. It's a job description. It's not an ontological status, a fancy way of saying what they are. They're not angels. They're sons of God. The Bible calls them the sons of God. They're spiritual beings. So the prayer says, I rise today through the power, I rise today in the strength of the love of the cherubim, the obedience of angels, the service of archangels. And there's other principalities and powers, but I'm connected to those holy ones who serve our God. Then it says, in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward. Well, I had an explosive moment last night, and I kind of shared my frustration with the constant discussion of this thing called the COVID. I've heard the word COVID in church meetings much more than I've heard about the power of resurrection. During the COVID lockup, we had one woman die, and her family was glad of it because she was in such duress. Everyone else died from something else. When I was a child, people died of something else. If you don't get COVID, that's great. But you're going to die of something else. And I'm not saying don't wear masks. I'm not saying this is not a political thing. What this is focus on resurrection, not on COVID. Focus on the power of life, not on the power of sickness and death. Focus on life and joy and hope, not on fear. And if I die of COVID, you tell everybody he wasn't surprised. But he believes he's going to rise again. And that's what he wants you to think about. I get up every day in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward. In the prayer of patriarchs, in the predictions of prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in the faith of confessors, in the innocence of holy virgins, in the deeds of righteous men. I saw St. Agnes's skull in Rome. Or maybe it's her heart. I don't remember. I think it's a skull. At any point, I know she died a young virgin in ancient Rome. And they have a school named after her in Memphis. And I'm connected to her team. And all those people went before me. I'm on their team. And I may be a bench warmer. I am a bench warmer. I'm not worthy to be in their presence, but I'm part of their fellowship. With all the heavenly beings and all the earthly beings who belong to God, I rise every day as a part of that group. And I rise today through the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depths of the sea, the stability of the earth, the firmness of rock, creation. The creation which God said, it's good, it's good, it's very good. The creation in which and through which I get the body of Christ and bread and wine. The creation that produces the olive, which gives the anointing oil that made me a priest and seals you at baptism and confirmation. In the gold that makes rings that pledges our love and fidelity to our spouses. This wonderful world that God made is a power of God that He radiates in and through, and I get up every day part of this world He created. And I rise every day in the strength of God to pilot me, His might to uphold me, His wisdom to guide me, His eye to look before me, His ear to hear me, His word to speak for me, His hand to guard me, His shield to protect me, His host to save me. And I can meditate. I don't have to pray this just fast like that. I can think God's ear hears me. And I can look at all the biblical examples where God hears the cries of the poor and comes down to save. And I'm part of that same inheritance as all those who went before me. And to pray this every day so that when the devil's voice says he doesn't care, I say every day, I get up knowing God's ear hears me. His eye sees me. And not just me, those whom I love. And not just them, but those whom I detest. That He's the God of us all. And that He protects us and saves us from the snares of devils, from the temptations of vices, and from everyone who shall wish me ill afar and near. And then you summon them. I summon today all these powers between me in those evils. I summon them between me and my family, and my parish, and my friends. Every day, I call down God to protect us, knowing full well that sometimes that protection doesn't mean everything goes smooth, but knowing that God is always faithful between me and those evils, against every cruel and merciless power that may oppose me, body and soul, the whole person. See, we're not spiritual. No one in this church ever says to me, well, I'm very spiritual. Because if you do, I'm going to look for your car. And when I see you eating, I'm going to take the food away. I might snatch your clothes too, but that would probably go a step too far. But the fact is, you're not spiritual. You're spiritual and material. And the people claim to be spiritual are liars. Lying to themselves because the deceiver has deceived them. That somehow God's creation is not good enough for them. We proclaim the resurrection of the dead, not the eternity of the soul. Pay attention to what you profess in the creed. We call down God's presence, the presence of the angels in heaven, the presence of the angels on earth, all His messengers, the presence of creation itself, the incarnation of Jesus to stand between us in the incantations of false prophets, the black lobs of pagandom, the false laws of heretics, the craft of idolatry, the spells of witches and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul, that Christ would shield us today from poison, burning, drowning, wounding, so that there may come to us an abundance of His reward. And add whatever else you're afraid of in there. I do. You can too. Call Christ between you in any illness that can happen. If Christ is your bodyguard, why don't you tell him to join you today? If Christ is your soul guard, why don't you invite him to join you today? If you don't want bad things to happen, do you start the day asking God to watch over you? Or do you assume that he already knows what you need and you don't need to waste your time with him? It ends in at this point, when we sing, when you hear it sung, you'll hear a difference in the tone. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. And I love this. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. The reason why we know this prayer 1,500 years later is because it's a really good prayer. And it's not just a prayer, it's a meditation. And everything in here is from the scriptures. And I invite you to pray it, if not daily, at least weekly. And I made a few copies for those of you who don't know how to go on the internet and find it, because I care about you. Amen.